Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Jason Kelly on Bloomberg Radio.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week live from the Year Ahead Summit. Well, before she even got here this morning, Carol kicked off her day at Cipriani here in New York City. It was the 2019 Breakfast of Corporate Champions. It's an annual event recognizing companies that exceed the national average of board seats held by women and are leading the way to parity by 2025. So Carol sat down with the former chairman and CEO of Hewlett-Packard, Meg Whitman, well known to our audience, along with Maggie Wilderotter. She's a director of HP and a former member of the board at Xerox. Interesting, as well as Pat Russo, the non-executive chairman of HPE and a former director on the Xerox board. So Carol started off on the news, as she should, asking Meg Whitman about Xerox making a takeover offer for HP. Take a listen.
First of all, I've got Meg, and then I've got two former directors of Xerox as well. So we're going to just do this quickly.
Long time ago.
Very long time ago. But they know these companies. Meg, what do you think?
Yeah.
Is it a good deal?
Well,
or a good idea?
So first of all, HP Inc. has turned into just a remarkable company since the separation in 2011, and Dion Weisler has done a remarkable job. So it's a great asset. I have to say, it seems a little bit like a minnow swallowing a whale.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see what happens. I mean, this is an industry that probably does need consolidation over time. It's a slow growth industry where you know, things are changing rapidly. But I'm not on the board. I have no, you know, insight into the financials or anything. But all I can say is HP is a great company.
But consolidation makes sense, maybe.
I think it probably does, yeah.
Is it something that ever came across your board? Xerox kind of talking to you guys?
No, you know, not when I was there.
Nope. Pat says no. Any thoughts from you guys?
The only thing I would say is after the split of HPI and HPE, there was more alignment between Xerox and HPI than Xerox with the large HP. So I think it probably set up an opportunity for maybe discussions to happen in the Xerox board room. But I was on Xerox's board when HP was still HP, and we were not having conversations then.
Didn't make sense. All right, that's 2019 today. Let's go back to 2011. So Meg, you become CEO in September of 2011. Stock took another hit, but by that time, with all that had happened, it was down nearly 50% for the year at that point. Billions in market cap gone, faith of investors kind of out the window. Three CEOs in the past 5 years, seven chief executives since 1999. Now you're a new CEO. Why the heck did you take the job?
Well,
you seem like a very logical person.
So, first of all, it was the board made the most difficult decision that boards make, which is to remove the prior CEO.
Right.
And I was on the board, so was Pat, and that was very obvious.
He was only there for a short time.
9 months.
Right.
In a land speed record. And so we made that decision. And then the question was, okay, well, that was the easy part. Who's going to do this?
Right.
And, you know, we looked at the list of the, you know, that the headhunters had had for the previous CEO jobs, because that was the obvious place to go. And then the board looked at me and said, you should do this. And I said, no, I'm not doing this. And then over the course of a couple of weeks, it seemed like, perhaps I was actually the best choice to do this. I was not entirely unfamiliar with the company.
Right.
I'd obviously been a CEO before. We needed someone who had been a CEO. This was not a freshman CEO assignment. And so ultimately, I decided to do it. And I did it because I thought HP was important. It was important to California. It was important to the United States. I would say it was important to the communities in which HP operated in. At that time, HP was like the largest employer in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
It was a super important global company. So,
Pat, I know on the conference call you said to me, you remember like in the middle of the night in Shanghai talking to Meg about taking the job.
Meg may remember this. I was at a GM board meeting in Shanghai, and it was the middle of the night, and I was on the phone with Meg for 45 minutes explaining, giving her my view of why this was a great move and why she was a great fit and, you know, how what the opportunity would be, and really trying to convince her that this would be something where she could truly make a difference, and she did. And, you know, I'm a believer in there are different leaders for different points in time based on where a company is.
Agreed.
And she was absolutely the right leader for where the company is. We needed a lot of adult supervision and strategic leadership in addition to all that had to be executed. And she was a very seasoned CEO. So
you've got the job. So tell me a little bit about what were the first things you wanted to tackle, and how did the board help you in that process?
Well, the number one question really facing the company was a quintessential board question, which, what is the strategy of this company going to be? Mm-hmm. Are we going to make acquisitions? What are we going to do? What businesses fundamentally do we want to be in? And we went through a 9-month process, really thinking through what businesses do we want to be in, what's the future of the company, what is the real financial condition here. At the same time, began to understand the challenges that we had on our hands with autonomy. And so it really culminated in our analyst meeting in September of 2012, where we basically laid out the strategy for the company and was very transparent with the street as to what the challenges were. And we took down guidance, the stock dropped again, but you know, sometimes you have to just reset and build from there. And then we began to think through, you know, what is the, in this environment, there are times for big companies. You know, I think the 80s was a time where one-stop shopping for IT was the right thing to mm-hmm. do. Think about the financial supermarkets back in the day. I can tell you, in technology today, it is not the right thing to be the biggest. You want to be the most nimble. The technology is changing at rapid rates. So we ultimately decided that we needed to split the company into two parts. There were two Fortune 50 companies embedded in HP. It happened to be at that time about $100 billion company, and the two companies that we split into were each $50 billion companies.
Yeah, it's tremendous.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for the Future Investor Data Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
Well, let's talk about the breakup, because I know we've got some slides and we'll kind of throw them out there for you guys to look at, because it really did involve so many different moving parts. How did you go to the board and say, okay, this is what we have to do? And I'm curious about what their response was initially. She's smiling.
You know, I didn't actually go to
the
board.
Were they like, we're in?
I didn't go to a board with a presentation and an answer. It was an iterative process. And Pat can describe. I mean, I think this went over the course of 4 different board meetings.
So the first thing I want to point to back when Meg first became CEO is job one was to get to a level of financial health and stability that was really important. So we did that. And then we took a look at, and Meg led the process with the board. The board was very engaged, took almost a year. We had many, many meetings where we actually looked at what are the various scenarios and options for us based on what was going on in the marketplace. And we color-coded our, you know, we had the white, the purple, the teal, the blue, all these different options, and ultimately brought the board along to a point where we concluded that we would break up into what became Hewlett-Packard Enterprise and what we call HP Inc. And it was, you know, it was a deliberative process. It was a lot of work. Meg's leadership was terrific there. Mm-hmm. And the process we used with the board, because remember, this was a big move.
Right.
Big, iconic company. And after every session we have, we would go around the board table and ask, where are you, where are you, where are you, where are you, what more do you need to know? And so there was an alignment process that I think was very healthy.
Was the board initially on board?
I think the board knew change was necessary.
Yeah.
There was no fighting.
But this is dramatic change.
Right. This was dramatic change. And I think over the course of that year, we began to understand that the only way out for this company was, in fact, dramatic change. And I have to say, it took a lot of courage. You can imagine First of all, no one usually wants to make their company smaller.
Right.
I was all in favor of having smaller companies. But and it took a lot of courage for the board to make this decision because there was a tremendous amount of execution that was required. You can put up that first slide that shows you how many systems we had to separate, how many servers we had to stand up. I mean, it was massive. And yeah, you can see it. You know, 2,700 IT systems, 6,000 servers, 1,100 legal entities, 600 real estate sites had to be split. Mm-hmm. You know, 300,000 employees had to be rostered to one company or another. I mean, it was just extraordinary. And we had to talk through this issue with, we sell, most of HP's gear was sold through partners, VARs. We had to explain this to 150,000 VARs.
Right, right. Was there any point in the process that you weren't sure that it was ultimately going to get done?
No, once we decided what to do, I mean, you know, this is classic just operating. Okay, what is your project management office? Who's in charge? What are the milestones? I mean, it was a huge project management job, but we had the right people. The great thing about running an engineering company is they are really good at project management. Really, really good at it.
Thank goodness.
Love to measure every little detail. And it's and so actually the execution was remarkable and almost flawless.
All right. Well, that was part of the fantastic conversation that Carol Masser had, because the problem is Carol Masser doesn't work hard enough. And so in addition to doing the year ahead today here at Bloomberg, she started her day. I know. No, but really nice job with that.
Thank you.
Meg Whitman, the former chair and CEO of HP, Maggie Wilderotter, director of HP, member of the board of directors of HPE, and a former member of the board at Xerox, and Pat Russo, non-executive chairman of HPE, and the former director of the Xerox board. I mean, couldn't have been more timely. And I thought it was interesting what they said at the top about these two companies, this potential deal, who knows? And now it has been confirmed that those companies are in talks, right?
Right, yes.
Or that there was at least an approach.
Correct, exactly. And it sounds like that they've been talking maybe for some time or on and off. But I like, you know, also they talked about the importance, you know, the whole event this morning was all about diversity on boards. And diversity means not just men and women, but people from all kinds of backgrounds.
Right.
And the importance of doing it. And they're like, if you make that a mission, you can get it done.
Right.
If you constantly go back to the same recruiters who bring the same people as possible board prospects, you're just going to get the same old people over and over again. But if you make it a mission to get something different and push everybody, you get it.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.